2024 was more than just another year in the books. It was a year of explosive growth, both physically and spiritually. So before we hit the ground running for an even bigger 2025, let's turn back the calendar and see how God moved around here in 2024. We go. It's a part of our DNA to go out into the world and make change. 982 people traveled across the globe to places like Nicaragua, Nepal, South Africa, and Alabama. We traveled a total of 238,776 miles. That's enough to fly around the world 9.5 times. We know if you want to grow, you need to get out of your comfort zone. That's why our camp experiences are continuing to expand. With 9 different camps and getaways throughout the year, we saw 7,529 people get to experience community and freedom that our camps provide. There was record-breaking heat at Woman Camp with 1,672 campers, and heat as high as 94 degrees. Sheesh! Followed by the largest man camp with 2,270 men that braved hurricane-force rain and wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour. But that wasn't enough for us. Just a few weeks later, we held our first ever revival at Base Camp, where we almost shut down the highway because over 8,500 people showed up. But what happened inside our buildings was just as big. For the 22nd time, we held our Super Bowl of preaching with 21,500 hot dogs eaten, 24 random props, and one Sasquatch. We saw friends and family get to hear about God in a language that they understand. We've had over 250 people get miraculous physical healings. Over 2,000 people said yes to Jesus and got baptized this year. 737,200 instances of scripture read in the Crossroads app, and 4.1 million prayers prayed. We had 13,120 TFD and Go Pantry boxes donated to our neighbors and our cities and families devastated by Hurricane Helene in North Carolina. We had over 11,000 Christmas gifts donated to families who were down on their luck or with incarcerated parents. And we pushed ourselves to see what it would take to have 10x growth in 10 years, with all of us coming together to make a financial commitment of $200 million over the next 3 years to see more and more and more of the amazing things that God has for us. Well done, team. And let's see where God takes us this year.
Well, hey, welcome to Crossroads. You're joining us for a unique weekend, online only. Brian's here, and we're actually in the brand new Crossroads Dayton space set to open in 2025. And we're here because we're talking about the new things that are going to come up this year. And I have a hunch, okay? This is usually the time of year people like to, like, reflect backwards on what happened and all the things. Right. I have a feeling you want to reflect forwards.
I like reflecting backwards. Don't put me in a box. I can do backwards. I can do forwards. Yeah, wow. I can do either one. Right.
You do anything. So versatile.
I am so capable.
That's awesome. I mean, it was an amazing year at Crossroads. Absolutely incredible year. So let's actually start there. As you think about the year we had, what's the thing you're taking forward with you going, man, I'm so thankful for blah?
Well, it's hard not to mention the most obvious. I'm just thankful for how the whole push for 10X went. We all started that thing off a little queasy, a little uncertain. We knew there was going to be a financial component at the end of it. And therefore, that's tough for all of us, myself included. I was on that journey longer than anybody, just figuring out if I wanted to bring it out to the to the masses. And how that thing went, I was just over having a dinner party with some friends just the other day, and they said, man, we went to this with our feet dragging, but this was the perfect thing for me, the perfect thing. So I don't even think about I'm not even thinking right now of what $200 million-ish dollars does for our ministry and for the kingdom. I'm thinking about stuff like the revival.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, to have lines and masses coming into a place where they hadn't been, and just kids and people all over the place, and people we know who actually got literal physical healing there, and the beauty of the worship down in the woods.
Yeah.
I mean, I had like guffaw cries when Lib and I went down that woods, the woods worship. We were down there about midnight, and it's just like, it was stunningly beautiful and powerful. So everything about the 10X bush, I mean, let alone talking about the end where everyone came in and consecrated themselves and made their commitments. It was a magical, magical season for our church, and one I don't think I'll ever forget.
Yeah, it's interesting, the revival weekend. You know, you and I, it was sort of a little bit of like a divide and conquer, right? You were like, hey, I'm gonna take the revival. I did week one of the push. Came with my family to the revival, waited in line for an hour. I was like, holy crap, I can't, we're just waiting. I guess we're waiting to go to church.
Right.
That's never happened before in my life.
That's right.
And then I will never forget, you know, again, a little bit behind the scenes stuff, but I think it's interesting. And convicting, honestly. I thought doing the revival in week one of the push on the same weekend would mean that everybody went to the revival. And of course, no one was gonna wanna show up for the start of the thing that we were very, very clear about would end in you being asked to make a 3-year above and beyond financial commitment. Of course, no one's gonna show up.
Right.
And I'll never forget walking out Sunday morning, first service, and I just look out and it's full.
Yeah.
And not just like normal full, like over full. I think that was the moment I went like, wait a minute, God's in this.
Right, the spiritual energy, the fire from that revival just spread into all of our sites.
Yeah.
The other thing for me, for that's so significant, is you know you're dealing with a little bit of a cold here.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you're dealing with it. Why? Because you bore significant weight in the push.
Yeah.
That's why your systems are run. I know that. Been there, done that. That's the way it's happened for me every single push. This is the campaign-like thing that we've done.
Yeah.
This is the only one that I felt great afterwards because people like you were bearing a lot of weight. You just mentioned you gave the opening talk for the whole push. Like, I would have never had somebody else do that. I would have always been the guy who had the ball in that situation, and you were the right guy and did amazing. And that's part of why you're sick. You've borne a lot of weight here over the last couple months, And man, well done, good and faithful servant.
Oh, thanks, man.
Sucks to be you, because I feel nice and healthy, because you did so much work, but not me.
I just got to find somebody next time to do the thing I'm doing.
Right, exactly.
A trickle-down effect. Yeah, right. A pyramid scheme, I think is what it's called. Yeah, it was an amazing year. And couldn't be more excited about where we're going. So let's turn the page to where we're going.
Right.
2025, about to kick off. What are you most excited about?
I'm most excited about, okay, well, let's go back to the push and then I'll get to push part two. I'm most excited that the things that we felt God asking us to expand, the territories that we have, unless we have miserable failure, miserable completion rates, those things are going to get done. And that's a lot of fun ministry to start doing in 2025. For you, for me, for all of our volunteers, that's going to be great. But closely related to that, but not the same, is I do feel like God's taken our church to another level. I do feel like revival is in the air. I do feel like people are open to the Spirit in ways that we weren't before. I do feel there's a deeper level of devotion. I do feel like there's an openness to the X factor of the presence of God that's infiltrating our church. And I think that's going to be taken off 2025. Even just this last talk I gave, a couple weeks ago when I did Die Hard. By the way, we all know now, right? We all know that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. We all agree, right?
Oh, 100%.
100%.
You know the biggest piece of evidence for why it's a Christmas movie? You didn't say.
What is that?
It ends in a kiss. Every single, the Netflix Hallmark Christmas movie, it always ends with the couple that you want to be together kissing.
Oh.
There you go.
Where were you in run through? I needed that.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. My fault.
My gosh. But this will maybe tie into where I want to go in 2025. It's an interesting thing. In that talk, it was fun. I smoke a cigarette on stage is always good.
Can I do that my next talk too, you think?
But it wouldn't be authentic because you never smoke. So it wouldn't really work.
Sometimes, out in the workshop,
Fine. People watch like, is he actually inhaling? Inhale. It was wonderful. But I'm still stunned by two things. One, on the more simple level, no complaints about that. No complaints. It was just sort of our church at its best. We were doing that kind of thing, very avant-garde, out on the edge, doing some earthy things, and God used it in a great way, and our church is in line with it. It was really, really cool. Yeah. The second thing, I was telling you about this earlier, is I had a chance to be part of one of the more miraculous things that I've seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sheesh. Which ties in what I want to challenge people for in 2025. You know, I talked about we don't ask people for prayer, and Jesus doesn't respond generally. He doesn't do miracles unless someone asks. It's an act of humility. I think there's only one person where I preached, which was a Thursday night in Oakley, 3 on Sunday. There was only one person who came up and asked for prayer for healing. One person. And that person got healed.
Wow.
Literal physical healing. Dave Stansberry, dealing with recovery from throat cancer and all this stuff. He hasn't been able to produce saliva or taste food for years. Mm-hmm. Carries around a Camelback or a bottle of water to give himself moisture. And I prayed for him to have saliva. And I was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. A lot of people have been praying for him. But the first time I actually put my hands on him, he humbly came forward and said, "Hey, would you pray for this?" Yeah, put my hands on him. And all of a sudden he started producing saliva, spit in my hand. Hasn't been done spit for years.
It's crazy.
Went out and did taste tests of foods, has his taste back. And I just thought, wow, it's really wild. Like, the one person who asked, and a miracle took place.
Of the people who asked,
verifiable miracle.
100% that weekend got healed. That's interesting to think about.
Right. Now, I probably prayed for some of the people who had family stuff or something, but as far as I remember, physical healing, there was just one. And that was it. It was one for one, 100%. Hmm. Only one guy you could also look at and say, only one guy was humble enough to ask. I mean, how many other people were there that had a need? But maybe they just didn't want to bother me, which is fine. Maybe they went to somebody else, which is fine. Maybe they were busy, fine. But boy,
what a waste of time. God's not going to heal me, whatever.
One person made the ask, and one person got the gift.
Wow. Okay, so to carry that forward into 2025, what does that mean for us?
Okay, so couple things. Book of James says, you have not because you ask not. And one of the regular things I do with my family every year is, right, it's either New Year's or Christmas Eve. It can be either one. So you gather the whole family up and you read the story of Jesus and blind Bartimaeus, which is from Mark chapter 10, where Jesus asks him, what is it you want me to do for you? And we go around and we have everyone say, what do I want Jesus to do for me this year? And then I write them down and track them. And the next year, we ask the same thing with all my kids and their spouses and all that stuff. And and then we compare what happened last year, who's gotten what they have, what they asked for. And then we also have our ask for the next year. But again, it was that thing of Jesus. He makes him ask. He makes him humble himself and say, what is it you want me to do for you? I think most of us are afraid of that. We don't want to waste God's time, or actually really what it is, I think, is we're afraid of being disappointed. Like, if I ask and then there isn't an answer of yes, then God doesn't care about me, God isn't real, my problems aren't real to God. Whatever the thing is, some people just feel it as rejection. So better to not ask and not be rejected. And for sure, with all those things, Jesus doesn't do everything we want him to do. He doesn't. But he sure as heck isn't going to do what he could do if we don't ask. We ask not because we don't have not.
Wow.
And this is a year where we as a church need to be asking. We need to be asking God to use us for an awakening. We need to be asking him for things that our bank account can't provide, because maybe some of us, we don't have a bank account anymore. Bank account can't provide anything. This is a year to go out and say, why wouldn't God bless our community and use us in a crazy, crazy way in the kingdom of God? So that's where I'm going this year, and I hope all of us join me.
That's amazing. I mean, one, that exercise is incredible. I'll do that with my family.
Yeah. And they love it. It's a tradition. They go, oh, and I go back.
Yeah.
I have them notes, and I go back to it final year, and everyone looks forward to it. It's around the fire. It's really fun.
Do you guys commit to pray for each other throughout the year? Or is it just like, hey, we share this, and we kind of check in?
Yeah, we share it. We don't check in for a whole year.
Wow.
You see if God did it over the next year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's, you know, some of the things people put are really good things, but I always have to say, this is not goals that you have to do, which is fine. You can have that list. These are things that you know, that can't happen unless God gets involved.
Wow.
Okay, so you are about to answer that question for yourself. What are some of the things you're thinking about?
Oh gosh.
Asking God for?
Well, one of them is going to be just what I just said. I want to see an awakening. I want to be a part of an awakening. Yeah, I want that. Another one is I've got some stuff with kids that I just can't share. You know, I don't want to share publicly, but I'm going to be asking for them. I'm going to ask for that. I'm also going to ask that I get the biggest buck I've ever gotten because I had opportunities this last year and they were heartbreaking.
Can we put up in the video the photos of this buck that you were chasing this year?
Yeah, it's fine. There's actually two of them. You can put them up, put both of them up. It's horrible. Just a little background, because this is, most people find this incredibly boring, but let me enlighten you, okay? Deer hunting is really, really hard. Now, for everybody who's listening who doesn't hunt deer, you're going, no, it's
they're,
not.
They're freaking everywhere right, in my yard right. all the time.
You know why they're everywhere? You know the answer. Why are they everywhere?
Because they feel safe in my yard.
Right, because they know they're not going to get killed.
Because I'm not
going
to, yeah.
And because they feel safe, they also don't care about human smell, none of that stuff, because they know they're safe. No one's going to kill them. They never know anybody who's gotten killed, unless it's been a coyote or something like that. When you get out in the country where I hunt, it's not that way. There's hunters there. There's coyotes everywhere. And if you do the slightest thing wrong, they're gone. If you're in a tree stand and the wind shifts and they're 200 yards away, they smell, that's a human, they're gone. If you go out and you've got a corn pile, which happened to me the first time, and you say, I'm going to try something different, just put some other nice tasty morsel on here. I did that. This massive elk of a deer starts coming in, and he gets about 15 yards away, and he stops, and he goes, something doesn't smell the way it normally does, and he turned around and just walked away. I just had a comedy of errors. Everything has to line up great to get a big buck, because they're big, because they're really, really smart, and they have superhuman or super animal senses. And so that's one of the things it's a heartbreaking year, utterly heartbreaking for me. So let me ask for this year for God to deliver the right buck in the right time.
So some of your stuff is like more spiritually sounding stuff and help and things. And some of it's just like, I just want to have fun and I want to do the thing I love and kill an awesome buck.
Look,
you think God cares about that?
100%. Look, the only way your faith lasts is if you believe you have a heavenly Father who loves you. That's the only way it lasts. And if you believe that your heavenly Father is only there to motivate you to do the utilitarian things that he needs, there's not going to be much of a love relationship there. You got your kids.
Yeah.
You want to bless them, right?
Absolutely.
You want them to come and ask you things, right? It's part of the relationship. So if I don't take those things to God, it's a sign that the relationship has really gone cold, and basically I'm on the verge of being a slave then.
Wow.
I'm just got to hit my marks and do what he says to do, and there's no joy in that. There's no relational intimacy in that. So you need to be looking at things that just you want. Jesus, when he says the blind man, he says, what do you want me to do for you? He wasn't saying, let me tell you what you should be asking. No, what do you want me to do for you? Maybe the guy's biggest need wasn't that he was blind. And by the way, when he said, what do you want me to do? He also doesn't say one thing. He doesn't say, what's your one thing? I always have to remind everybody that when we do this, people just want to do one thing. I say, no, you can do more one. You can do two, you can do three. Just what is it you want me to do for you?
So he could have been like, he's asking a genuine question.
100%. He could have asked for an American apple pie. He could have asked for anything.
Anything.
Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And I think that the reason why many of us are reacting against this is appropriately so. We've seen the health and wealth gospel abuse this. We've seen people, getting the blessing of God and riding a Rolls Royce on the backs of other people's giving. We've seen bad theology about God doesn't allow any pain and suffering.
Right.
He does allow it for whatever reason. We can see that all those things are abuses, all those things are untrue, and still say, there's a heavenly Father who wants to bless me. Jesus says, which of you as a father, when his son asks for a piece of bread, gives him a stone? Mm. He says, no, that's not how our heavenly Father operates. So when I'm not talking about viewing God as a genie, having my faith linked to material blessings,
yeah.
I'm just saying, if I'm not going before the creator of the universe who loves me and has created me and wants to bless me, and I'm not opening my life up to him, it shows there's really an outage in our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So I also know about you, Mr. Brian Tone. You're a man who prays and a man who does. So as you think about 2025, is there anything you go like, yeah, I'm going to ask God, I want to see these things happen. Are you going to work at anything differently or different for a different thing than you did last year?
Well, I feel like this year is a discernment for me.
Yeah.
This is my last year at 59, my last year in the decade of the 50s. Mm-hmm. And then I go in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And I have a mentor of mine, Bob Beal, who wrote a book on the decades, and his conviction is your 60s are the most productive decade of your life.
Wow.
Your 60s. Which is really countercultural when most people are looking for their 60s to be the least productive.
That's when you finally stop being productive.
Right, it's when you stop doing things. That's when you, do all whatever you want to do because you put in your time. Well, I've had a really good life. I've had a fun life. I have time to do a lot of good, fun things. So my 60s, I want them to be the most productive. So 59, I'm really looking to get a game plan for how to best organize my time and my life for my 60s. And certainly what's happening with the 10X push is a piece of that. Yeah. And your role where you are and doing the amazing work you are also is sort of laddered me up to be able to think in those ways. So that's really what I need in this year is a clarity about where to put my time, my focus, all that. So I've got to actually, after this taping, I have a meeting with a guy to talk about just that very thing. Guy's wow. coming to see me and got some other stuff. So I'm working on that pretty hard.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, we're about done, but I'm just going to ask you this. Is there anything for those of us who are watching right now, who have heard you kind of push us on prayer, anything you want us to think about in these last couple of minutes as we head into our new years? Or anything you want to pray for us? You can do that too.
Why turn on you? You've asked me some really good questions. What do you think? What kind of things do you think that we should be praying for as a church?
I was convicted when I was putting together the week one message for the push that my prayers were very practical and they weren't like they were not small or insignificant or not meaningful, but they weren't dreams. And there's this verse in the Psalms that says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, they were like those who dreamed. And since then, I've just been going like, Lord, what does it mean to dream? What am I selling short on? You know, am I just thinking is impossible? And how do I pray towards those things? So for me, part of that's impact of Crossroads. Part of that's impact of my kids. And I don't want to be the dad whose goal for my kids, and this isn't a bad goal, by the way. I mean, this is part of my goal, but it's just, when they leave my house, they're well-rounded human beings with a decent path in life. And then, like, no, I want them to change the world. I want millions of people to know Jesus through our family. Like, that's one example. And so I think as I go through to 2025, that's kind of what I'm doing. And I don't have an answer. I mean, if I did, I'd say it. But I think it's that going, okay, God, what dream do you want this year?
Yeah.
And how do I start to ask?
Yeah.
So that's mine.
I think Crossroads needs to be aware of, hey, get ready. Like this is it. Church starts all over new. We're right now in a brand new facility that will be up in operable here in Dayton. That's the latest iteration of what a building for us looks like. It's going to be great. It's a big, huge step of faith. I mean, the number of people we have coming to a little middle school does not equate to the amount of space that we've put here, right?
Yep.
We've got massive plans that are happening out on base camp. We're going through the appeal process for the lake that we're trying to get approved out there right now. We are challenging ourselves, you know, internally. Like, how does Crossroads structure for awakening instead of only growing 20%? Only is great. It's awesome. We grow 20%. Part of your job. Growing 20%. Well, awesome. We can do that. That's the fun. But how do we structure for awakening?
Yeah.
Figuring that out. We're going to be having to take new ground this year in prayer. I've challenged some people internally. Like, what is the next iteration of what prayer looks like for us corporately as a church? We've got a real prayer system for staff members, our rhythms praying together, but we need to get them for the whole church. Awakenings break out when there's corporate prayer, and we're all in on that. And so we're gonna be taking new ground there. It's gonna be a year of first for us.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Would you pray for us?
I would love to. Lord, thanks for giving us the ability to dream and to fortify those dreams with actual responses. Thank you for how you responded with the push for 10X. Thank you how you moved your people to reallocate your cattle on 1,000 hills. Thank you for dreams and visions of revivals and awakenings and for healings. Lord, we want to see more of that this year. Lord, look at your servants. I think we've proven pretty faithful. Whatever you got going on for us, whatever you got going on, we're up for it this year. Whatever it is, whatever you got going on in the kingdom in 2025, we'd like to be included. Mm-hmm. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, hey, thanks for watching today. If you're with us and you want to share this with somebody, you can do that. We will restart regular service, both in person and online, next weekend. We'll see you then.